The clock is ticking. We're looking at the year 2028.
And that's not some random date, is it?
Not at all. It's a consistent prediction from Shane Legg, one of the co-founders of Google DeepMind. He's on record saying there's a 50% chance we'll have human-level AGI by then.
A 50% chance. And that means, you know, we could have less than 4 years.
Which is unsettling. But what's really crucial, and this is what our sources today are all about, is what Legg says next.
Right. He insists that just inventing the tech, that alone is not going to guarantee human flourishing.
Not even close. He argues it could actually fast-track a catastrophe just by concentrating wealth and power in a way we've never seen before.
And that's where this gets really interesting. The sources we're diving into today lay out this massive architectural blueprint. It's called Dumarchia Planetaria.
And it reads like a direct point-by-point answer to every single one of Legg's demands. It's like a proposed global operating system designed specifically for a world with AGI.
So that's our mission for this deep dive. We're going to unpack that vision. We'll focus on its core mechanisms, this really unique 50-50 wealth split, a royalty on resources.
And a complete political overhaul.
Exactly. And see how they're designed to solve the three huge challenges Legg identified. Wealth concentration, resource use, and, you know, the problem of political power.
Okay, so let's just quickly frame the problem using Legg's own checklist. First, there's the big one, the philosophical ethical question.
The alignment problem. How do you align a superintelligence with human values?
Then second, the economic problem. AGI is going to create just unimaginable wealth, but mass employment will be gone. So how do we share the benefits equitably?
And finally, the political piece. This is maybe the hardest. How do you build a global governance system that's transparent, incorruptible, and stops AGI from being captured by a tiny elite?
The Dumarchia Planetaria claims to solve all three. So let's see. I think we have to start with the economic challenge. Legg's warning is just so stark. If we stick with the current system, AGI wealth gets captured by a small elite.
It's an existential question, really. When machines can produce basically everything, how do you decouple a person's survival from their job?
So what's the first step in this new architecture?
It starts with a really radical, but when you think about it, simple philosophical axiom.
Okay.
Universal planetary co-ownership, or CPU. The principle is that the Earth, its resources, and all the collective knowledge that even makes AGI possible, it's the property of every single human right from birth.
So you're born a shareholder of planet Earth.
You're born a shareholder. That's a great way to put it.
But if we all own the planet, how does that actually translate into AGI profits ending up in my pocket and not getting lost in some bureaucracy or tax system?
That's the job of the central economic engine here. It's called the Universal Association at 50%, or let's just call it the 50-50 partnership.
The sources have some pretty dramatic names for it, right?
They do. Economic metastatic polygamy, or my favorite, a planetary marriage.
A planetary marriage. Yes. Like that. Unpack it for us.
It means that every single economic activity, doesn't matter if it's a local bakery or a huge AGI factory, is automatically a 50-50 partnership.
Automatically.
Automatically. 50% of the profits go to the creator, the entrepreneur. The other 50% flows directly into a central common fund, which represents all of us, humanity.
Hold on. I can just hear the skepticism right now. If I'm an entrepreneur building this incredible new AGI, why would I even bother if half my profit is just gone? Doesn't that kill the incentive to innovate?
That is the crucial question. And the answer is baked into the system with this concept they call enlightened self-interest. Egoismo illustrado.
Enlightened self-interest.
Yes, because the common fund is your guaranteed 50% partner. The system allows for the elimination of most of the taxes we have today. Income tax, VAT, corporate taxes, gone.
So you keep your 50% completely clean. No taxes.
Clean and guaranteed. But here's the other side of it. You also get automatic access to capital. Up to 50% of the capital you need for your project can be provided by that same common fund based on something called your capital of trust.
Ah, okay, now I see it. So the better your partner humanity does, the more capital you have access to. Your own self-interest is now hardwired to the common good.
Precisely. If the collective is thriving, your risk is lower and your access to capital, not debt, but capital is higher.
And that's the built-in solution for AGI. The second an AGI starts making massive profits,
50% of it is automatically instantly distributed to everyone through that common fund, it structurally prevents that concentration of wealth Legg is so worried about.
And the direct result of that is the planetary dividend, the DP. The sources are really clear on this point. This is not a handout. It's not UBI.
No, it's a royalty. It's the dividend you receive as a literal shareholder of the planet. It's your property, right? And it guarantees that basic level of existential security.
The system also seems obsessed with removing the fear of failure. They see that fear as what drives all the hoarding and, you know, destructive accumulation.
Yeah, that's the role of the Solidarity Risk Fund, or FSR.
Tell me about the FSR, because covering someone's business losses, I mean, in our world, that sounds like a recipe for fraud.
A completely valid concern, but here's how they address it. The FSR, which is funded by the 50-50 partnership, covers up to 25% of an honest entrepreneurial loss.
And how do they define honest?
Well, the whole system is radically transparent and administered by that super intelligent AI, the ASIAC. Every transaction, every justification for a loss, it's all visible and auditable. So failure isn't a penalty. It becomes a collectively learned lesson. It takes away that terror of risk that holds back so much innovation today.
Okay, so that economic model, the 50-50 split and the planetary dividend, seems to directly address Legg's demand for equitable sharing. But that leaves his second big challenge.
Right. How do we stop all this new AGI-driven prosperity from just, you know, burning through the planet's finite resources even faster?
And this is where the second pillar comes in, the ethical part.
Exactly. The royalty for use of common assets, RUAC. You can just think of it as rent for the planet. It's a fee you pay when you use something that belongs to everyone, minerals, water, clean air, for your own private consumption.
So it's like a global consumption tax, but specifically on resources.
Yes, but with one absolutely critical difference. The sources call it the principle of final consumption.
Meaning?
The RUAC is not charged when a company drills for oil or mines lithium. The fee is registered then, but it's only paid once, at the very end, when you, the citizen, buy the final product for your own personal use.
Okay, so it avoids that whole problem of costs piling up through the supply chain.
It does. It keeps the true cost of consumption completely transparent.
Let's walk through an example, make it concrete for everyone listening.
Sure. Let's imagine two people, Maria and Carlos. Maria is a pretty moderate consumer. She gets her planetary dividend, which covers her basic security. She pays a little bit of RUAC each month for her electricity, her water, the land use for her apartment.
So she probably ends up with a net positive.
She definitely does. Her dividend is more than her resource rent. Now, Carlos is a high consumer. He's got a huge gas-guzzling vehicle, lives in a mansion on a big plot of land.
He gets the same dividend as Maria, right?
The exact same dividend. But his monthly RUAC payments for all that consumption are much higher. They might even be more than the dividend he receives. He still benefits, but he contributes far more back into the common fund.
So that's the automatic incentive for sustainability. The system doesn't judge you. It just makes high consumption lifestyles mathematically more expensive, and that money directly funds the collective safety net.
You've got it. And this single royalty is designed to replace almost all other environmental fees, covering everything from land use and mineral extraction to the cost of mitigating carbon emissions.
And this connects to Legg's other demand about the flow of knowledge and innovation. So the high RUAC activities consuming finite stuff actually fund a completely different reward system.
It does. It funds the social benefit return, or RABS.
RABS. And that's designed to replace our current system of intellectual property, like patents.
It is. It's described as an economic gratitude algorithm. It's a reward for creators who choose to release their work, their inventions, their code, their art directly into the public domain for everyone to use.
So instead of getting a patent that locks everyone out for 20 years, you get rewarded for giving everyone access immediately.
It's a total paradigm shift. And the reward is calculated by the super intelligent AI. It's a tiny fraction, just 0.1% of the verifiable net social benefit to humanity that your work creates.
And that's paid on top of your regular dividend.
As a bonus, yes. Up to a maximum of 5 times the basic planetary dividend.
So you end up with this perfect virtuous cycle.
A virtuous osmotic cycle is how the sources put it. Consuming finite resources high RUAC directly funds the creation of infinite open source knowledge high RABS. It's designed to speed up human progress while slowing down environmental damage. So we've covered the economic equity and the ethical resource management, but now we hit Legg's third, maybe greatest demand, the political framework.
Yeah, his point that prolonged power literally alters the brain biology of human leaders is chilling. He's saying we need a system that's fundamentally incorruptible to manage AGI.
And the DeMarchia's answer to this is to just eliminate the professional politician.
Altogether.
Altogether. Through a process of sortition, or what they call the civic lottery.
A lottery. So instead of elected officials, you'd have citizen assemblies just chosen at random from the population.
Exactly. And serving for very short terms, maybe just 30 days.
Wow. And the logic behind that is?
It's cold and it's brilliant. It makes it, and I'm quoting here, impossible to capture representatives who do not yet exist. How can you bribe someone who doesn't even know they'll be in power next month and who won't be in power the month after?
But who? Yeah. Who does the actual day-to-day work? If the assembly is always changing, you'd have no continuity.
Right. So the structure has three pillars. The randomly selected assembly just sets the big picture strategy, the what and the why. The how is handled by professional managers. These are technical experts, not politicians. And the third pillar is a set of independent auditors ensuring total transparency.
And the assembly has another job too, right?
A critical one. It also acts as a citizen grand jury judging the performance of all public servants. This breaks the self-protection loops you see in every political class today.
Okay, now let's bring in the AGI itself, the ASIAC, the Superintelligent Administrator. What's its role, and how do you stop it from just becoming the ultimate dictator?
Its role is strictly as a tool, an impartial administrator. The sources compare it to the control unit in a modern car. It doesn't set policy. It doesn't make sovereign decisions.
It just executes.
It executes. It manages the immense complexity. It does the automated accounting for the 50-50 profits and adjusts the RUAC fees based on real-time data. It handles the math.
So the humans keep the ethical and strategic control.
Always. And the philosophical alignment problem is handled by what they call the anti-tyranny shield, a blind edge.
And that shield has a few layers.
It does. First, distributed citizen control. The random assembly is constantly supervising its actions. Second, radical transparency. All of its algorithms are open source. Anyone can audit them.
And the third, the kill switch.
Essentially, yes. The fundamental right to human veto. Any citizen or the assembly has the power to halt an automated decision. The ultimate ethical call always rests with humans.
I have to push back on that a bit. The human veto. If the AGI is managing trillions of daily transactions and the assembly is only there for 30 days, isn't that a recipe for gridlock? Or just incompetence grinding the whole thing to a halt?
That's the acknowledged risk, absolutely. But the system is designed to remove the temptation for corruption, not the difficulty of governance.
I see.
The AGI handles the complex administration that humans are, well, frankly, bad and corruptible at. The human assembly handles the strategic, ethical questions that only humans can answer. The alignment isn't in the code. It's in the constant, auditable human oversight. The AGI serves the structure, and the structure serves the people.
And this entire political and economic redesign is meant to trigger a final philosophical shift in society. Moving us away from what the sources call homo debitum.
The indebted human. The human who acts out of fear, scarcity, and debt.
Towards homo socius. The cooperative human.
Exactly. If you guarantee security with the dividend and you encourage honest risk, you remove the basic motivations for crime, corruption, and all the destructive hoarding that comes from fear.
Okay, let's try to wrap this all together. The DeMarchia Planetaria model, it really does try to answer every single one of Legg's AGI challenges in one integrated system.
It does. Economic equity is handled by the 50-50 partnership, environmental ethics by the RUAC. And political security by the civic lottery and a strictly controlled AGI.
And if you zoom out, the real genius of it seems to be that it doesn't rely on us all becoming saints overnight.
Not at all. It's designed to take the most powerful human driver there is, self-interest, egoism, and channel it. That's the whole egoismo illustrato principle. It's just baked into the math of the system.
Because your neighbor's success literally increases your dividend. The health of the whole collective is your silent, mandatory business partner.
You can't get rich without making everyone else richer, too.
And that flow is maintained by a principle we didn't get to, oxidation selectiva, selective oxidation.
Right, which is just a small fee on huge, unproductively hoarded piles of wealth. It's not a wealth tax. It's an incentive to keep capital moving, to keep it flowing back into the 50-50 partnership to fund new ideas.
So this all brings up a really big question. If a system guarantees security, if it funds creativity with RABS, and it stops pathological hoarding, does humanity just naturally evolve past its destructive zero-sum habits simply because they stop being the rational choice?
The sources are pretty explicit on this. They state the entire system's success depends on one thing, making the zero-sum mindset, the idea that my gain has to be your loss, mathematically incorrect.
So here's the final thought for you to take away. What does society actually look like when the single most selfish, most rational, most profitable strategy you can pursue is to actively work for the prosperity and security of every other person on the planet? If cooperation is the only logical path forward, what does humanity look like in 2030?